throughout Lent, we're examining some of the people we can observe working out their vocations in the pages of the Bible. With so many great people to choose from, like David and Samuel, and the apostles, you may raise an eyebrow that I have chosen to focus on the prostitute Rahab for our time together today. However, I've learnt a lot reflecting on her example and wanted to share some of the encouragement that I find at the heart of her story. I'm not the only person to find her story inspiring, because the writers of Matthew's Gospel, the letter to the Hebrews, and James's epistle are highlighting her example as well. For example, Matthew's Gospel names Rahab as just one of five women named in the genealogy of Jesus. That is particularly remarkable given how man-centric the world was in the days when the Bible was written. But why was she recognized in that way? The answer comes in a brief historical recap. The account we heard was set at the point where, after 40 years in the wilderness, the Israelites were about to take control in the land that God had promised to them. However, something stood in the way of that goal, the Canaanites. The Canaanites was a name used to describe a diverse range of communities who were already present in the land that had been promised. And they were known for their wickedness and their following of forbidden religious practices. From the Israelites' perspective, they saw it as their duty to purify the land by annihilating every last Canaanite. Today we might call their mission ethnic cleansing, but they didn't see it that way. In preparation for that mission, spies were sent out over the River Jordan to gather information, and that's how the spies came to Jericho. By birth, Rahab was a Canaanite living in Jericho, and as such was someone who should have been opposed to the Israelite spies. However, the Canaanites viewed the entertainment and support of strangers as an absolute duty, which explains how she came to accept the spies into her home. What is surprising, though, is that when the king named those people as spies, she hid them. She sent the guards on the wild goose chase and finally helped the spies to escape. It seems that Rahab had reached a decision point known by many modern-day disciples. Does she honor the world she lives in, or does she work for the purposes of a God who inspires her? That first reading includes words from Rahab which record the answer to that dilemma for her. She concludes her words with, "For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." Those words are such a clear declaration of her trust and faith. Her decision was for God, and having decided, she acts very swiftly, helping the spies to escape, reassured by the promises that they made for her safety and that of her family. That was a promise that was later honored. She and her family were saved and then went to live amongst the Israelites. Rahab's clear decision to act for God is affirmed as an act of faith in Hebrews 11. And that's the core of why I value her small part in God's big story. It reminds me so much of what Jesus said when he sent out the disciples to the lost, poor and needy people in Matthew chapter 10. He tells the disciples that they must go in confidence because God is in control, and concludes, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Rahab's examples reminds me of all the times I decide I can't step out for Christ because I'm focusing on everything else I've got to do, or I've convinced myself that everything will go wrong rather than the possibilities brought by faith. I've been reflecting over the last few days of how's the best way of actually sharing that with you. And it led to a prayerful conversation yesterday morning with God. And he said, show them. And I said, pardon? He said, yeah, do something that you wouldn't normally do, showing how you're going to work out your life of faith. So that's what I'm about to do. And I have to say, I'm not necessarily looking forward to what is about to happen. Because I'm going to play the piano, which is not a skill of mine, but I can, through my flute playing, just play one or two notes. So let's try. That faltering attempt reminds me of what it's like when I step out in faith. In particular, it reminds me of when I first started working at Oakhaven in the hospice, where I had to walk into the rooms of total strangers at a pivotal moment, one of their last moments in their life, and say, I'm John, I'm from the chaplaincy, how can I help you today? And that, I have to say, is one of the most scary things I've ever done in faith. But with Cynthia's help, I'm going to show you how those notes became something else. You see, that's what happens. When we step out in faith, God stands by our side and does that. Behind every self-doubt is the belief that we will take the wrong path, disrupt our lives, or commit to something that is going to be difficult to deliver. It's thoughts like that which can make us hesitate from doing what we know is right in God's service. We focus on the fear of our shortcomings and forget the words that we regularly say together in church. The priest will say, "The Lord is here." And how do we respond? His Spirit is with us. So why do we remember that here, but not when we are going out and working for Him in the community? Those self-doubts are painful, but more scarily, they're robbing us of our future. They rob us of the fulfillment, achievement, self-worth, peace, joy, and all we can receive by walking into the unknown with God by our side, just as Rahab did. So before dismissing an opportunity to develop your particular vocation and play a small part in God's big story, it's worthwhile just pausing for a moment and asking yourself, what is stopping you from saying yes to working for God? Then to look at the story of Rahab and see that there's three big strands of inspiration within it. Firstly, notice that it is God that defines people, not their past exploits, not their mistakes. No matter how our self-doubts whisper to us, no matter what our past holds, our past is the reason that Jesus lived and died. I wonder what inner whispers of self-doubt Rahab heard. Condemnation, fear, shame, worthlessness. Whatever she had done wrong in the past, her faith in God helped her to do the right thing in the moment when it mattered most. The good news is that there is no choice we have ever made, no scars we have ever inflicted on others, no words we speak in anger, nor the way we abuse our bodies that can keep us from God's saving grace. Our past is never good enough to earn God's salvation, nor shocking enough to keep us from it. You won't be a failure if you make mistakes in God's service. You'll be a success because you tried. The second inspiration that comes from me in that story is to notice that God has a record of using imperfect people like you and I in his service. God used Rahab despite her past. In that battle for the promised land, God used Rahab not only to save spies, but also to save her family. But God had even more plan for her. God used Rahab to shape the character, faith, and godliness of a son named Boaz, who would one day rescue a young Moabite widow, Ruth, and becomes part of Jesus' line. So you might say to yourself, why hasn't God done that in my life? And it comes from the nature of our relationship with God. You see, unless we accept him in our lives and say yes, we cannot be used in his service. Our God does not take control regardless of what our desires are. We are not robots to be controlled. We must willingly accept his kingship over our lives. From my own experiences as an imperfect person, if I put myself in control, I stay safe. Nothing will happen, and life is at best dull. But when I pray the question, Lord, what would you have me do? Enriching opportunities that keep me young and active abound as I encounter the world around me. I can see Jeremy sitting there at his PC, and I'm sure that since he said yes to God and became our church warden, life has never been more interesting. The third inspiration is to notice that God's service redefines people. When Scripture mentions Rahab, mainly, she is known as Rahab the prostitute, except in Matthew's gospel, where Matthew called her Rahab, mother of Boaz. God redefined Rahab. She went from a fallen woman to a chosen woman, from a troubled individual to a successful mother, and from prostitute the progenitor of the Messiah. In the same way, God redefines you and me as we, inspired by our faith, engage and enrich the world around us. We ourselves are transformed. Whilst we may intellectually know the difference our relationship with God brings, it's only when we live lives of service that we experience the power of that relationship at work in our lives and the lives of those we encounter. And that's the difference that was being mentioned in our gospel reading today. The call to be salt and life. We are to be salt and light to the world. As we live the change that God so longs for the world, we offer love, hope, and support to those we meet on our journey. To those we meet in our home, our office, our club, or our street. That is what Christians are meant to be, full of flavour. If we are insipid and continue to sit on the sidelines, then we're useless to God's work. We bring the flavour of Christ-likeness to a very needy world. In the same way, we add as light, we add a sparkle of joy and selflessness that brings comfort and encouragement. As a light, our faith shines into the lives of those who we encounter, a light to guide their personal journey and illuminate the rocks so that they won't stumble. Sinful Rahab was transformed by recognizing that God is God in heaven above and on the earth below, and then simply allowing her actions to be guided by him, regardless of the potential impact on her. Time proved, as I'm sure it will in your lives too, that there are no negative consequences, only unimaginable positive ones. Rahab couldn't have guessed that. Her shortcomings neither prevented God's acceptance of her nor stopped her use in his service in remarkable ways. In the same way, may each of us be inspired to find and live out vocations that bring glory to God every day of our lives. Amen.